Weak is the efforts of my heart, and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might see your Son through the Word of God tonight. That's why these pages have been written, each chapter, each book, speaking of him, showing him in all his wonderful person and his great and glorious work. So open our eyes, Lord, that we might see Jesus. And in seeing him, Lord, we might the better serve him and love him and live for him in the days that remain to us. We ask it in his name. Amen. I don't know if that chapter put you off going on a Mediterranean cruise. I hope not. But you've got to choose the time of year. And of course, they got that a bit wrong. And so don't let them put you off. It's not going to be like that for you, I'm sure. But Luke, the writer of Acts, takes a whole chapter, and it's a long chapter, as you saw, describing a storm. And of course, it's an eyewitness account, because he was there, he was on board ship with Paul and Aristarchus. And the details are all spot on, geographically, nautically. We get an insight into the ancient world and its ship mastery, or whatever the appropriate word is. But why such a long chapter? Well, it's what's called narrative theology. In other words, you may think it's about a storm and a ship and a journey, but it's actually teaching us lessons about God. They are the story elements: a journey, a storm, the word of God, and a life and death choice. Isn't that your life? Isn't that my life? A journey, the word of God, a storm, and life and death choices. The life and death choice for us, of course, being trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. But of course, the big lesson is this: on the sea of life, storms happen. On the sea of life, storms happen. Everybody's affected. We live in a fallen world. There are family storms, parents and children. There are health storms, cancer and worse. There are accidents, as we saw yesterday, employment storms, financial storms, fellowship storms, bereavement storms. And chapter 27 of Acts is written that we might know God in the storm. I chose the words carefully, you see, because some of us think, well, I'll be okay when I get through this. But actually, God wants us to know him in it. In it. So I don't know what you are facing. We've had a pretty stormy week with one thing and another, actually. But you might be facing much worse than we are. And if so, this message is for you. And also for you, the sea of life might be running quite smoothly at the moment. Praise the Lord. We'll rejoice with those who rejoice while we weep with those who weep. But as I say, we live in a fallen world, and storms are a fact of life, aren't they? And I'd like to bring home four truths from this passage by way of comfort and by way of strengthening us in our life as Christians. Johnny read about another storm in the Bible. That was the storm crossing the lake. And of course, it was Jesus who said, "Let us go to the other side." So that was part of his plan, wasn't it? Some storms are of our own making. Jonah was in the boat, and God had to send a storm to bring him back. I hope there's no one here who's in a storm of their own making. But of course, that ended well also. In this case, it was the word of God that was ignored, because the apostle, verse 10, says, "Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with injury and much loss." Now, as an inspired apostle, he is exercising here what is called the gift of knowledge. That is to say, supernatural knowledge. He knows by revelation, this is going to be a problem. And of course, it was. But the word of God was ignored, and the voice of the majority was heeded, and the centurion who was in charge of Paul and the other hundreds of prisoners, there's 276 on board, so this is a big ship. Most of them will be prisoners on the way to Rome, and most of them will be on a one-way ticket, perhaps bound for the arena, where they would give their lives in the gladiatorial games, or maybe criminals who were going to Rome to be tried, as Paul was, or to be executed. So, the first point, of course, the word of God through the apostle is not heeded, and disaster follows. Isn't that a lesson? When we don't heed God's word, disaster follows. I couldn't help thinking of our country at the moment as we plough headlong against God's word in so many different ways. You know, and you think of the knife crime that we've heard about this week, and other things which are going on, which I won't mention. And God's word is not being heeded as it once was in these islands. And of course, disaster does follow. Well, it's the same here. The south wind blew gently. So circumstances are favourable, but the word of God is not heeded. And sometimes circumstances can be favourable, but if the word of God speaks against something, we must not go against that. But then the third thing here, of course, we need to know that all storms are by God's permission, and no storm is too difficult for him. And ultimately, the storm cannot harm the child of God. A storm cannot harm a child of God. And that's the big take-home lesson here. Therefore, the children's chorus we sing on the beach missions, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. And we really can. As Christians, we're to know that it ultimately cannot harm us. And if, perchance, it takes away our life, what does that do? It brings us into the presence of the Lord. So ultimately, storms cannot harm a child of God. But let me pause and ask, is that you tonight? Are you trusting in the God who rules the winds and the waves? Are you trusting in Christ as your Saviour? If not, you're invited. And then no storm can ever harm you, ultimately. So, we can read a little bit how it happened. They set off, it looks good, the wind is calm, favourably, the sun is shining, no doubt. The ship, the big ship, pulls out of the harbour of safety. But it's contrary to the word of God, and soon the wind comes contrary to the ship. They try and turn the ship into the wind, that's what you do. I don't know if you're ever going to be caught on a storm off Southport Pier or whatever, but you turn the ship into the wind, but of course it doesn't work. This is something else. This is a gale force situation, and the ship is not able to cope. And eventually they have to let her drive. So the ship is now borne along by this mighty wind. And I don't know if you notice the language here. It says in verse 20, sun nor stars appeared for many days. Now I know the weather can be rough, but this is something else. The sun and the stars didn't appear for many days. Now, what's the onboard navigation? Do you know what the onboard navigation is? The onboard navigation is the pilot who knows how to navigate by the stars. He hasn't got a GPS. He does it by the stars. They're clever people. But if you can't see the stars, you have a problem. If you can't see the sun, you don't know which direction south is. And so after many days, they have no idea where they are. And so it's likely, and it says also, verse 20, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. All hope was lost. It's a serious situation, isn't it? People do get themselves into that situation from time to time. People without Christ sometimes abandon all hope. And of course, they can go on to end it all, can't they? These people are at the end of their tether. All hope had been abandoned. It's likely that those sailors, pagans, would worship the sun, moon and stars. That's what they worshipped in those days. And of course, false religion is no help when the storms of life come. They had no answers in the face of this storm. And into that situation, the word of God comes a second time. This time, not warning, but comforting. You see, God is in that storm on that ship, and he speaks through an angel to his servant Paul. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not to have set sail from Crete. Yet now I urge you, take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. This very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship, and said, 'Do not be afraid. You must stand before Caesar, and God has granted you all those who sail with you.'" You see, storms cannot hide the face of God. They can hide the sun, the moon, and the stars. And storms cannot hinder the will of God. 2 years earlier, Paul had been in Jerusalem under arrest, on trial. They put him before the Jews, and then before Felix, and then before Festus, and they messed him about, if you like. They did not give him a fair trial. They didn't find him guilty, but neither did they let him go. 2 years earlier, the Lord Jesus Christ had said to Paul, "Be of good cheer, Paul. You must bear witness to me in Rome." He knew he would get there, but he didn't know if anyone else would get there. And he prays for them that they might be saved also. And actually, if you think about it, this is written about AD 59. You can work out it was in October, because it's after the fast, Yom Kippur, that was last week. So it's about this time of year. And Paul has not yet written the prison epistles. So on board ship is Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians and Philemon, all still to be written, not to mention the book of Acts, which was going to be written by Luke. So this ship is going to get there because God has a purpose to bring the New Testament to you that you have read this evening and help you in your journey. Isn't God wonderful? So this ship's going to get there, but they didn't know that. But Paul knew that because he'd said to him, the Lord had said to him, "You're going to get to Rome and bear witness to Caesar." And of course, he did. AD 59, AD 60, he comes to Rome. By AD 64, he's dead. But in that short period, he gives us several books of the New Testament, which would not have been written had he gone down with the ship. And the point is this: Storms can't hide the face of God. They can hide the sun, moon and stars, but they can't hide God's face. And they can't hinder God's will. They can't. And that's the lesson here. And what's the application? Well, in the storm, Paul witnesses to his faith in Christ. And let me say that to anyone going through the storm. In the storm, Paul witnessed to his faith in Christ. He stood up and he says, "Take heart, it'll be exactly as I have been told. God's word is going to come to pass. And God has granted that you will be saved as well." This is a word of comfort to desperate people who'd given up all hope of being saved. What a great word that was. What a great man Paul is. What a great example to you and I that in the storms of life, what do? We bear witness to the God to whom we belong and to whom we serve. I'm thinking of Joni Erickson, who dives into a shallow part of a bay and breaks her neck. 14, 15 years old, was she 16 years old? And spends the rest of her life in a wheelchair. What a storm. And yet she speaks well of Christ to all and sundry. World famous, because she speaks from the storm of Christ, to whom she belongs and to whom she serves. That's the example. Not waiting till we get through, but speaking, knowing God in the storm and speaking of him in spite of the storm. There's the challenge, friends. That's what Paul does. What an example to you and to me. And of course, didn't Paul have an example? I'm thinking of the day on which the sky went dark for 3 hours and the storm of God's anger against your sin and mine fell upon his son, Jesus, in the storm. Father, forgive them. Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And in the depth of the storm, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew what it was to be in the storm. He faced a storm which, if you're a believer, you will never face. You will never know what it is to suffer the pains of hell, because he did on your behalf. What a saviour. What a storm. He's been there. He's done that. And he is Paul's great example and our great example too. The storm of God's wrath, he went through it to pay for our sins. So storms cannot harm the child of God. They cannot hide the face of God. They cannot hinder the will of God. But actually, storms cause men to believe the word of God. 27 to verse 38. Now we live in skeptical days when the word of God is doubted, denied, and disbelieved. What should we do? Well, we need to read it, teach it, heed it, and obey it. That's what Paul did. And actually, that's what they need. In this storm, these pagan men needed to see the witness of Christian Paul and his companions. Do you suppose that on that long journey, when it wasn't so bad, that they would have failed to speak of Christ? I think not. Paul and his friends would have been round and spoken to those men who were on the way to a one-way ticket to the Roman amphitheatre or somewhere perhaps worse. Other prisoners being taken to Rome, who knows what for. They would not have long life expectancies. Paul is going round and witnessing to them. I think you can assume that. And he's praying that they will be saved. And of course, what we see in this chapter is that Paul, whose word is ignored at the start of the chapter, he's just a prisoner. At the end of the chapter, he is the one calling the shots. He is the one saying, if these men go, we've had it. And that was the end of that boat. And those four men stayed on board. Why don't you take some food? And actually they needed to take some food to have the strength to be able to swim from the boat to the land. So Paul is telling them to take some food. They listened to him and they all ate their food so that they have the strength to do this. And Paul, from becoming the despised prisoner, is now the ship's chaplain and the ship's captain, as he tells them what to do in order to be saved. And what would he be speaking about? He'd be speaking about Jesus, wouldn't he? All of that journey, why he was going to Rome, what was his charge, how Jesus had risen from the grave and appeared to him. He gave his testimony all the way through the book of Acts. You'd think he'd not give his testimony here? Of course he would. And at the end of the journey, those prisoners owed their earthly life to Paul. They were only saved because he was heeded. But many, I'm sure, would owe their eternal life to Paul as they believed in Paul's Saviour. You see, the storm helped the men on that ship, godless, pagan, criminal men, to believe in Christ. Of that I am convinced. In our own country, in 1940, in the 40s, the churches were packed. If you look at the newsreel or the internet, when the German armies were about to invade this country in the early 1940s, the king and the prime minister called for days of prayer, and people did pray. Long queues, packed churches, and God answered those prayers. The storm of an impending invasion caused people to pray. And I'm told that tonight in the Ukraine, the churches are filled as people pray for an end to this conflict. And many people are finding Christ. According to the missionaries that we know, not many, but the one I know is Andy Ball, who's working over there. And the messages we keep getting back are that the Ukrainians are seeking the Lord. Would that were true for the Russians as well. Who knows, it may be in God's plan and God's purpose, because storms cause people to seek the Lord. But the application is this: don't wait for the storm. You seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. The ship, a picture of the church. I don't know if you noticed, you broke bread before we came tonight. It says here, they took bread and giving thanks to God in the presence of them all. And they were encouraged by that meal. And of course, the great picture of the church is in the last verse of the chapter. All were brought safely to land. Everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Saviour will be brought safely to land, heaven's shore. You say, I couldn't keep it up. Please don't let that excuse keep you away from Christ. He keeps you up. You trust in Christ, you are saved, safe and secure for time and eternity. All were brought safely to land, and all those who are in Christ will be saved. So this is a chapter in God's word which our Puritan forefathers would call pure comfort. That's its purpose. That storms can't harm the child of God. Storms can't hide the face of God. Storms can't hinder the will of God He is not absent in storms. He's on board ship. And he uses the storms to save men and women. God's word was magnified and believed through the storm, and all came safely to land. Let me quote from the Baptist confession. That'll go down well in this Baptist church. God, in his infinite power and wisdom, does dispose all things to the end for which they were created, that neither good nor evil befalls any by chance or without his providence, and whatsoever befalls the elect is by his appointment, for his glory and for their good. We trust in the God of the storms. We meet him there. We know him through them. We witness to him in them. We remember his son who went through the storm in our behalf. And we grow in our faith through the storms that God sends. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that it's never easy to face storms in our lives. But Lord, you've ordained them, you've sent them, you do send them for our good. And we are to know you in the difficulties and the problems of life. And Lord, these storms come whether we're saved or whether we're unsaved. But we know, Lord, for the Christian, they can be means of us knowing you in a deeper and a closer and a greater way than ever we could without the storm. And this is your way which you work, Lord, a wonderful way that we struggle, Lord, to understand. We pause and remember your Son, the Son of God who left heaven to face the storm of your wrath for our sin. We pause, Lord, and think of all that he suffered at the place called Calvary. Thank you that he's a risen Saviour. Thank you that he's a Saviour who's soon to come. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to live in the light of his death, resurrection, and soon coming. Thank you for the example of Paul the Apostle, who spoke to all of his faith in Christ in the midst of the difficulties and desperate situation. Help us, Lord, to speak well of our Saviour this week. And as Johnny prayed earlier, may you give us opportunities to witness to our faith in Christ tonight. So thank you, Lord, for this chapter, which comforts us, which encourages us, and through which even there we can see our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Blessed to us, we ask, for his name's sake. Amen.